141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we edge ever closer to Scotland's first Euro qualifier. Angus Gunn says he's known for a while he wanted to represent Steve Clarke's side. Ryan Porteous is out to keep proving his doubters wrong if he gets the nod to play. And Mikael Lustig is full of praise for Ange Postecoglou and Callum McGregor at his old club. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Things a bit quieter on the club front, Gordon, but heating up nicely on the international scene. We've got the debate of who's going to start on goals in two huge games just round the corner. First up, Cyprus, 110th in the world, followed by Spain, 10th in the world. So a bit of a gap in terms of rankings and standards. How are our boys going to handle it? And I wonder if there'll be many of those replica Scotland shirts in the crowd to support the team when the day comes.
There's no chance the nation there's no chance the nation needs a second night this week of you trying to lecture people on shirt prices.
I've got to say,
let me just nip that in the bud.
The show's only a couple of minutes in and the stats coming out of this guy's been brilliant so far.
Unreal.
Rankings brilliant, absolutely great. No, I'm with Mark. It's all about the international seen this weekend, and obviously Tuesday Spain at Hampden as well. But need to get by Cyprus. Big debate is obviously who's got to be in goals. Angus Gunn coming out and saying, yep, I always wanted to play with Scotland when England didn't take me. So I just wonder who Steve Clarke will decide to go for.
01419511025. Maybe that is a debate that we can properly have tonight if you so wish, because you know we've dipped our toe, haven't we? We spoke a bit about when Angus Gunn was given the call up, and then we heard kind of brief comments from some other parties earlier on in the week. But it's Thursday night, this game is on Saturday. Maybe it's time we put you on the spot and made you choose. You have to pick one. Who plays on Saturday? Is it Angus Gunn? Is it Xander Clarke? Is it Liam Kelly? Is it all going to be on current form? Are you holding anything against Angus Gunn because of his delayed call up, if you like? Why not get in touch and let us know? 01419511025. If I make you pick one, come on here, tell us who should wear the gloves and why. If you want to talk something entirely different, well, if the floor is yours, that's the beauty of these international breaks, is a bit more of a blank canvas. If you've got any club issues on your mind that you do want to share, we're going to hear from Mikael Lustig. He's talking about Celtic, his former club, of course. Ange Postecoglou, Callum McGregor, full of praise for them. So if there's any club issues on your mind that you want to discuss, then it's the same number. So come on, 01419511025. Maybe you sit there for the rest of the season and think, oh, this VAR madness, or it's everyone keeps phoning in and the momentum's building with this argument or that argument. Maybe this is your chance. Maybe you've never called before. You've sat back quietly, patiently, waiting for a quiet moment to pick your time, and this could be it. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale, they're a great audience. They really are. They're very friendly, very welcoming. So 01419511025. Whether it is Scotland, who should play in goal? Is it Angus Gunn, Xander Clarke, Liam Kelly? Is it someone else? Are you holding it against Angus Gunn in any way about this call-up business? Any club issues? Please do. If you want to phone and offer Mark Wilson a spot in the Celtic Legends team at the weekend,
by
you
the way,
do that.
Right.
Still not had the call up, no?
No, not yet.
I've been getting inundated with messages.
I was going to say, we need to nip this in the bud, because everywhere I'm going now, people are just shouting, you know, being called up to the Legends game. And I was at the Golf Range, I was telling Daz with my dad yesterday, bumped into a guy just on the way out the door, you know, playing that Legends game at the weekend, and burst out laughing. I was at a school the day, teacher, you know, in that Legends game. It's just turned into a mockery of me.
Because did you see that Alan Thompson, he tweeted, he had a bit of a dig on social media, you know, basically saying that he hadn't been invited. And just all it meant, people just kept forwarding it to me and saying, see, tell Mark Wilson he's not the only one.
Well, he would be deserving, let's be honest, of a place, having scored at Anfield, when was that, 20 years ago in that game, him and John Hartson.
He must have upset somebody. Because you look at the squad, right? Aye. Look at the squad. Some big, big names there. Yep. Certainly some big names. Manager, won every award. Brilliant player. Ex-manager. Superstar of Celtic. But are there players there
Because this is the point. No, don't dig anyone out. I particularly like when
Trevor Sinclair turned out for Celtic. Because I had Sinclair 8 in the back.
Because listen, Gordon Dale, as if you and I would try and suggest that Mark Wilson's a Celtic legend. Far from it. My goodness, we like to give this guy a hard time. But in the present company, I think we could have got the boy a call up, you know.
I don't know who picked that squad. I really don't. A lot of friends and family in there, obviously.
Well, there's a lot of favours getting done. Paul Lambert's the manager, and his assistant is Tommy Boyd, who I've grown up five doors down for time. And known him all my life.
And Wilson's not getting. There's players in there not even getting appearance. This man has scored goals left and
right. I'm not going anyway. don't bother inviting me now.
They're actually dishing out invites to anyone who goes on the tour of Celtic Park at the moment. Simon Donnelly was in last night. It was great to hear from him. He's a legend. 15 years older than you, incidentally.
Do you know something? That's what I said to you, right? You've always got to watch your friends in football. You took Simon from the scrap heap and you gave him that big contract to Brecon as the assistant manager. You gave him a tracksuit, everything, water bottle. What happens? He gets a pick. He's working inside.
Well, you don't get to bring a plus one.
You've got to say what about my mate?
He's forgot about me.
No knees Wilson. Come on.
I mean, this guy would give you at least 4.5 minutes up and down that right hand side.
I think of the decoy runs, eh?
I do know he's sitting in the office going, I didn't really want to play anyway. I'm sorry, but I don't think you've got the choice.
01419511025. As always, we often get distracted in here, so my apologies. But get your thoughts in, whether it is Scotland. Are you going to pick your goalie for us tonight? Are you saving that till tomorrow? Why not do it right now? No time like the present. That's the real debate about the team, isn't it? Who plays in goal? Why? What about the Angus Gunn situation? All of the above and more. If you've got club football on your mind, you can do that as well. And it is, of course, the same number. So do get in touch with these two, and we'll have a bit of fun on here between now and 8 o'clock. Andy is first up. Andy is a Rangers fan. How do you assess things at your club at the moment then, Andy, going into this break? What's on your mind?
Hi guys, how you doing? I tried going the other night after the game. We lost two bad goals, obviously, in defence. And I wasn't too impressed with Kolek. At half time, I'm screaming to take him and Sakala off. I know Sakala scored, so I'll show you how much I know. But I just think, we just need to tighten up in defence. Really, that was two bad goals we lost. Really. And then I was tired of laughing at the producer. I was saying, does Mother will not get any footballs? Because that time that ball went into the camera thing, you're going, just get another ball in, boy.
Nah, listen, ball boy standards have slipped since the winter of 02 when I hung up my tracksuit, I must admit. Those were the glory days of the ball return operators. It's obviously Thursday. I don't think we need to go over the weekend in great specifics, but it's an interesting kind of bigger point than Andy is talking about Colak, because there's so much talk about Morelos and now I see people questioning on social media. It's one thing trying to assess, right, what are we doing with Morelos now? But is Colak the answer? You know, if it's not Morelos, what would your answer to that question be?
I agree with Andy. I didn't think he had a particularly good game, but you can't judge somebody in just one game, especially away from home. He's scored goals, he's looked lively, he's had his good days. I think he's a decent centre-forward. I think he can score goals. But if you get rid of Morelos, which I think Morelos will leave the building, I'm sure that Michael Beale has got a target out there as a centre-forward to bring in.
He said as much in January, didn't he? I don't even know if it was... I see, for instance, I don't know if you've seen the latest club, and I do always sort of put these with the caveat that we've rhymed off so many, but now apparently it's Galatasaray for Alfredo Morelos. Things have changed now, of course, because he will be out of contract at the end. So you don't need to scoff and say, who's going to put this big bid in, because it doesn't need to be that anymore.
Well, he's free, so he's free to go and sign with anybody he wants to, agree a pre-contract if he likes. So all the rumours, you know, they mean nothing, because if it was true and Morelos was interested, the deal would get done pretty quick. So in terms of Colak, you know, is he going to carry Rangers through a season, through a European campaign, through the cups? I don't know if he will. He'll certainly score goals, but I'm with Daz, I'm with Andy. Michael Beale's already said that they certainly need someone else to create competition, because if you take Morelos out of that, and you've got Cholak. Who else has Rangers
Roof.
Actually got?
Roof.
Yeah. I mean, Roof. You never see Roof. Roof plays for a game. He gets injured again. Don't think he's the answer. They need to bring someone else in.
Here's the thing though, Andy. I mean, you're talking about Saturday there. 10 days before that, Rangers put in arguably the best performance of the season. That was the calls that we were getting away at Easter Road. Cholak scores twice. People are talking about, you know, we're seeing an insight into the future here. Morelos is left on the bench, Cholak's playing, adding a bit more to his game. And then, you know, 10 days later, you've still got your doubts. So are you being unfair, or have you always sort of had these concerns?
Well, by far, I know by far that was a great whole team performance, you know what I mean? But that's what Rangers sort of need to be doing for now, right up. Well, we need to get to this cup final, right up to the end of the season. It's not just, you know, giving away two daft goals, two sloppy goals, and then some of the team, and even Ryan Kent. I mean, that boy just needs to get his shooting boots on, because again, he should be scoring a lot more goals for Rangers. So it's just the consistency just now with Rangers, you know what I mean? I know we're still winning, but it's just you want that kind of consistency every game now to the end of the season.
I don't think any of this should come down to a moment within a game, good or bad, but the one where Cholak goes through and really has to square it to Fashion Sakala and then slices it into the old Motherwell College end was
something that you would do.
Yes,
I wouldn't have squared it.
You would have tunnel vision of the goal and you wouldn't have squared that either.
Yeah, I believe that if you're a terrific striker, you're a selfish striker. That's my motto. Always has been, always will be.
That's a great quote.
Tattooed on you. By yourself.
But Andy's picking in one game. Where I do.
What is the tattoo you've got that someone tattooed on you again?
Yeah. You tattooed it on. Did you do it yourself? That was Gaw.
Remember it? G-A-W. So it is.
Do you know what I was thinking about that the day?
Did you do it yourself or did someone else do it?
Oh no, my mate done it. He'd a tattoo.
It's funny you should bring it up, because he's just taking his jumper off, right? And I can still see the remnants. He's still got that bank.
Anyway,
a tattoo shop, but he wasn't very good.
Cholak.
Especially at 14. Andy's gone in one game. I do agree with him. I thought that he's flipping between defence and forward line there, saying, you know, defence losing the two goals against Motherwell. Yeah, but I think the first goal's good play with Motherwell. You've got to give them credit. I think second goal, obviously, coming in there, they should do a lot better. But going back to the centre forward position, I think everybody would agree it'll be a real turnaround if Morelos stays at Ibrox next year. I think everybody's got it in their head that he's going to leave now in the summer. So you leave yourself, when we were talking there, Cholak, I think's a very good striker. Given the right service, I think he'll score you goals. Would he be your number one striker for the season? That's debatable. Roof is always...
I mean, it's extremely early, right? But I did say it's International Week. Things can be quieter. I'll ask a lot of you. Just as it stands now, without knowing who comes in or whatever, can you see Cholak being Rangers' main go-to number nine next season?
No.
I've been harsh on the guy.
Look, I think he's a great squad player for me. I think playing certain games, like Easter Road, I thought he was terrific. I thought his goal, his first goal, that he goes in front of defenders, just a typical terrific centre forward run, a good goal, good finish. I think he's got his moments. I think he'll get better. But I think if Rangers are going to try and take that next step to kick on, I think they'll need another quality centre forward in there that's going to share the burden.
I think he could be the number one striker, but I do think they need someone in there as either backup or to challenge him.
I mean, that's a guarantee, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just in terms of numbers wise,
better players round about him. Now Ryan Kent is the one that they often look to create for Cholak. Sakala's done it, you know, in times when Beals come in, but is inconsistent. I think if you get better players playing in behind him and in and around him, then he doesn't really need to be that link player that everyone says he's not as good as Morelos as. You get him in the penalty box, you feed him, you put crosses to him. One thing he's shown is he can finish and he can score goals. So for his first full season as a Rangers player, I think he could be pleased with his return. But I think you need better players round about him to create more chances.
It's hard to know, Andy. The list of clubs Alfredo Morelos has been linked with is extremely lengthy. I mean, it was Seville not that long ago that Michael Beale rubbished. Today it's Galatasaray. So you're just kind of waiting to see it finalised? Do you pay much attention to these things anymore?
Well, no, it's hard to say. I'm still a big Morelos fan, and I still think he's got a lot to offer. If he can just screw it up and stop taking, as somebody said in the paper, they stop running down the tram. But, if he does go, I could agree with the boys, we definitely need another sort of top class centre forward.
Interesting. Thank you very much to Andy to kick things off on tonight's phone in. It is 01419511025. If you'd like to join, you can tweet as well. But so far, it's just offers for you, Mark Wilson. Gary Quinn says they've got a bus leaving Cumbernauld.
Oh, there you go.
That's local.
Find out much as I'll pay.
8 a.m. Saturday, spare seat and a match ticket if Mark really wants to go with the Bertie Old Boys.
Oh, right, okay.
And then John says, hi, Clyde SSB, I'm organising a Dumbarton Legends game if Mark Wilson's looking for
there you go. See, thanks. They
don't play a full
you.
10 games, I know.
And you can take all the free kicks,
corners, throw-ins, everything. They promise you'll be the man.
That'd be good. Go and support your club. They give you a chance when you were rock bottom. So go and support them.
I was rock bottom. I'll never forget the way my training kit was handed to me in a Tesco carrier bag. I know that was just the way it was from the club secretary at the time. There's your kit.
Other supermarkets are available. 01419511025. It's a good time to call. We'll get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DLR here. It's 01419511025. Just to set your tone on the international break. See, the 21s are in action at the moment. Taking the lead against Sweden in spectacular fashion. Dire Mabudi plays for Man City, and it is a wonderful finish, I must say. Great, you enjoyed that, didn't you?
Fantastic goal, fantastic touch, great feet, and what a finish it was.
Yeah,
I'll be terrific.
Terrific.
I'll be watching him on Sunday. I've got a game on Sunday.
I'm more than happy with that, I think.
More than happy.
Yeah.
What would you describe that as?
I'm going down the terrific line.
And just quickly, something that I do feel is important to elaborate on, because we got very distracted before the break and you were telling us, well, I put you in the spot about the homemade tattoo that you've got, because we spoke about it before, the gaw, and then and someone did it for
it,
you
MFC,
or you did it yourself. But you told us during the break that actually this was quite a thing, and Rangers arranged for you to get it removed when you were at the club.
That's
spectacular. That is the Scottish football story I never knew that I needed to know.
I used to wear a plaster, and everybody asked me why I wore it, because we were short sleeve shirts in those days, and everybody, why you work? And I made up an excuse. Oh, I scored in my first game, and it was a lucky charm and everything.
Like that. Well, did they know what was hiding under that plaster?
Yeah, he should have seen the G. Wasn't he a good writer? It was shorthand for golf.
You definitely told us about the tattoo on the show before, but I think this added detail is great.
Well, I went to Rangers and asked if they could help me get it removed, because I was feeling like I was becoming an adult. And I wanted to be more mature, moving on in life with my family and my children and my granddaughter. So
imagine going to the physio though at Rangers. Why would you not just go and deal with it yourself? Say, I'm injured. What's up? I've got this horrendous tattoo.
It just shows that he put those types of lifestyle moves in place a long time ago, because that's the sort of thing he'd be doing. He's always looking for somebody else to take care of his problems. So it's nice to know that started way back.
I was a bit disappointed when they left a wee bit in there, but I've carried that burden
so
for a
you've
lot of years.
You've basically got a dot.
Full stop. At the end of golf, we should take a photo and tweet that, just so the listeners know.
I'm glad you're interested in that.
I'm stuck looking at it for 2 hours.
01419511025. That is the number you need tonight. I did say that we're getting closer to the Scotland kickoff on Saturday. Maybe it is time we get a proper debate going about who plays in goals, because we've just skirted around the issue when Angus Gunn got called up, and then we've had very busy nights with various club calls and strip prices and all that sort of stuff. So maybe tonight we actually properly get stuck into it. Let's hear from the man himself, Angus Gunn. So is it him? Is it Xander Clark? Is it Liam Kelly? They're your only three choices. Pick one and tell us why right now. 01419511025. Angus Gunn here, he's been speaking to the Scottish FA. Says he's known for a while he wanted to represent Scotland, didn't feel he deserved a spot in the squad. He now says he's more than ready after nailing down a starting spot at Norwich and didn't have to think twice when Steve Clarke asked him.
I think it was a couple of months ago now, and I think he just wanted to come down and have a conversation. Pretty chilled, to be honest, and had a good chat about football in general first, and then obviously went on to Scotland and just told me about the group and how positive it is, which I've already heard from, you know, people like Kenny and Grant at the club. So, you know, I already knew that, and yeah, he just sort of laid it out to me and said that he wanted me to come and be involved, and you know, saw a good future for me at Scotland. And you know, I didn't tell him straight away, but I knew straight away in my own mind that it's something that I wanted to do. And I think I called him the next day and to let him know. And ever since then, I've been excited and looking forward to this moment. I think it's something that's sort of been there for the last 4 or 5 years in the back of my mind, but in myself, I didn't really feel like I could justify getting picked for a national team when I wasn't playing regular football. So I think when I started playing regularly at Norwich, you know, it's something that I started thinking about and that I wanted to do to sort of further my career and you know, push myself even more.
Going to be a real interesting one, Mark. Come Saturday round, what are we, 12:30, 1 o'clock, we'll find out the answer.
Yeah, that will be an interesting one. One place up for grabs, 3 goalkeepers, 3 untried at international level, 3 could put up a good argument, I suppose. Maybe Liam Kelly at the weekend didn't show up exactly how he would want it the week before, but he's certainly stood out in the league this season. Xander Clarke's been outstanding. Angus Gunn, of course, when he's played down south, has stood out as well. So, you know, we had a wee bit of a debate on it last week, and you, Daz, was of the opinion that Steve Clarke would have made up his mind already. I wasn't too sure on that. I think he would assess him in training and see how they perform this week.
Who would you go for, Nadim, on the line?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
So I was saying to the producer there that I mean, I understand why maybe some supporters are maybe getting a bit annoyed, the fact that he's he chose England to begin with, and then now that he's clearly not going to get a game for them, that he's now chosen to play for Scotland. I get that, but I mean, I just think, you know, he knows he's not going to play for England. So, and he's always a good goalkeeper. He's a, you know, they're standing seventh in the Championship, so he's a good goalkeeper. You know, he's not going to play for England, so, you know, he's got a chance to play for Scotland, and we're not in a position to turn away good players. You know, we've lost good goalkeepers in the last few years. We've lost McGregor, Gordon's now probably not going to come back to Scotland, I don't think, and Marshall as well. 3 really top goalkeepers we've lost, so we can't snub good goalkeepers, any good players, not just goalkeepers, but any good players. I just think, you know, his nationality doesn't, for me, I mean, my mum and dad are from Pakistan, and I'm Scottish, I was born here. You know, if I was good enough to play for Scotland and they didn't want me, and, you know, Pakistan came in for me and said, do you want to play? Of course I would go. Do you know, if it's a chance to play international football, it would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly it, Gordon. Mm. I think for some people, when it comes to the call up, the fact that he's there, and other people will have a differing opinion, which is absolutely fine. Now that he's in the squad, though, can you see that the nod for the starting spot?
It's a very difficult one to call, Gordon. I've not seen enough of him. The only time I've ever seen him, he get caught in no man's land, and I'm thinking, oh, here we go.
I mean, I was sort of doing the old social media snooping around, and Norwich fans pretty much think he's their player of the year, or one of them. So it's
well, it says a lot for him, and he's playing in a very competitive league, very difficult games week in, week out. There are a shout there for Xander Clarke, who's come in for Craig Gordon at Hearts and performed very well. Liam Kelly, captain Motherwell, has had a good season. I don't take into consideration last week, because I don't look at whether you should be Scotland's number one, judged on that one sort of a Tavernier free kick sort of mistake.
Got to play players in form, though, surely. Yeah, in international football.
One mistake doesn't mean say you're not in form.
Also, I think he made a couple.
Was it a wild howler, though, was it?
Tavernier free kick?
Yeah.
Xander, hold on,
that's what I'm saying. You've got to be like, there is a scale here in terms of, if you were to buy your compilation of goalkeeping gaffes at Christmas time on DVD, it's not going to be in that.
I'm not going to say it's a gaffe. I'm going to say an international goalkeeper
could have done better,
has to save that 100%, an international goalkeeper. Well, the point I was making is, you play players that are in form. I think there's some, that's the exception, outfield, who are maybe not getting a game, Kieran Tierney and the like that would jump the queue on that. But I think when you've got three goalkeepers, if there's one that's had a poorer game last week compared to the other two, I think that maybe gives you a wee bit of an advantage.
Hearts lost three goals at Padoru. Xander Clark, are you judging Xander Clark's season since he came in with Craig Gordon on?
I think all of this is very fickle though, because I'm not saying this was the case, but
I watched
Angus
Gunn getting caught in no man's land.
I mean, you just keep banging on about this one goal that you
by
saw.
By the way, go on, I'm still not seeing this.
I'm not fully confident.
Lobbed. I don't think it's even that bad.
It is. Blackhorn.
The, you know, because it totally context is so important. For all, when you present it like that, what if Hearts should have conceded 10 but Xander Clark played out his skin and kept it to 3? I'm not saying that did happen, but to just keep it as black and white in that and say, oh well, he conceded 3, I don't know if that does the argument any favours.
I think there's a case there for the three of them. I think it's so close, right? But I do believe Steve Clark will be sitting in the hotel tonight and absolutely has known he's number one for the last week. My opinion, Mark might disagree by saying, you know, got a feel for in training. But I think Steve Clark obviously sees enough games to know.
What do you think, Nadim?
Yeah, I was just going to say, if I come in there, I mean, for me, I would go Angus Gunn. I think he's playing at a higher level. No disrespect to the Scottish Premier League, but, you know, the Championship, I think we'd all agree, is probably a better level than what we see up here. So I would absolutely start with Angus Gunn. My other point, Gordon, was, I don't know what the other two guys think is, I'm not concerned about the goalkeeping situation. I'm more concerned about the fact that our top players and our team aren't playing for the club. You know, like Gordon just said there, you know, Tierney is not playing for Arsenal. You've got right back, we went for Rangers to Everton. He's not going to game for Everton. You know, we've got McGinn, who's just come back into Aston Villa squad. You've got, you know, the boy at Brighton. He's not getting a game for Brighton. So that worries me more. Lyndon Dykes, you know, he's been out for a while. That worries me more than the goalkeeping situation, if I'm honest.
It's a fair point. I mean, to be fair, I think John McGinn's sort of in and around it now. I mean, he's played a good number of games recently. Billy Gilmore's a good point. Nathan Patterson's a good point. But then you have to assume, well, Gilmore probably won't or might not start. Aaron Hickey will probably play it right back instead of Nathan Patterson. So you've still got people there who are playing.
I think the difference with the outfield players is everyone that you were talking about there has been capped. The goalkeeping situation, there's no caps amongst any of them. I think this is a debate. And that's, I totally take on board that you look at Kieran Tierney, but as much as he's not been playing, you'd never leave him out your team, especially Scotland, because we ain't got the quality that Kieran Tierney possesses. Patterson's been a terrific, but you're right. Hickey's playing at Brentford, playing very well.
Could be based on nothing, but Kieran Tierney always strikes you as the type that wouldn't really matter. You know, I mean, you could just...
Yeah, just play him. Anyway, I mean, I think we are players, they're an exception, like Tierney, like Gilmore, playing in the top league, struggling to get in. I'm just actually looking at the England team there. Calvin Phillips starting against
Italy. I must admit, I was amazed when I saw that.
Starting against Italy. Can he kick a ball for Man City? But Gareth Southgate recognises he's a good player and a good fit for that game, and he's put him in. So why should we be any different?
Just on the goalkeeping one, because that was the main debate, I think, and Nadine puts his thoughts across very well. The timing is interesting though, isn't it? Because 6 months ago, out of those three, well, we wouldn't even necessarily know it. I don't know, would Angus Gunn have been an option 6 months ago? And Xander Clark wasn't playing for Hearts because a certain Craig Gordon was there, so Liam Kelly would have played. Is that fair?
Yeah, well, it was the top of the queue. Yeah, when you talk like that, it's because Xander Clark and obviously Gunn wasn't available. So
and then Xander
Kelly
Clark's
was
in an interesting position where he may well be the... You know, he's done really well, there's no doubt about that. Is he going to be back to being a number two soon or at some point once Craig Gordon's fit?
Maybe, but I think he's grasped the opportunity. One with Hearts, I think he's been outstanding. Shot stopping, some of the saves have been ones that stick in your memory. And that's why I was touching on play the guys that are in form. When you've got this position that's up for grabs, you've got three new guys coming in, you look at their recent form, I think, and that's what you pick from. And I think Xander Clark would be very hard done by if he doesn't get the note.
Would you go with Clark?
I would go with Clark.
Over Angus Gunn.
Yeah.
What do you make of those ones, Nadim, then? You know, because you've put the case forward for Angus Gunn. Has Xander Clark and or Liam Kelly could you rule them in or out based on what you've seen of them this season?
Yeah, I think they've, to be fair, I think they've all had, three of them have had decent seasons so far. Randy Clark, maybe he's only just came, obviously came in for Craig Gordon, so he's not maybe had as many games as the rest of the boys. But yeah, I think you can put a case forward for either of them. I think if I was to pick, I'd pick Andy Gunn, but if I wasn't to pick him, I'd probably go with Liam Kelly. I think I don't know if you went with Xander Clark and Craig Gordon comes back, could you have a Scotland? Could you conceivably be Scotland number one, but number two at Hearts? I don't see it.
I suppose you worry about what you've got here and now, and but Liam Kelly's pulled off some unbelievable saves for Mullow, hasn't he? Such a good shot stopper. There's always going to be that obvious thing of he's nowhere near the stature of Xander Clark or other goalkeepers. Some people, understandably, well, doesn't matter. You know, if shot stopping becomes your priority and he's effective at keeping the ball out of the net, doesn't matter. There might just be people out there, I'm not saying it's right, but who just go, well, no, I just want more of a stature in there. I want more of a presence. It's hard to know how other people, mainly Steve Clarke and his goalkeeping staff, would judge it. They obviously like Liam Kelly because he's been in and around squads.
It's going to be very interesting, isn't it? As I say, it's very hard for us to comment. We've watched Xander Clarke up here. We watched Kelly. We know their strengths and their faults, but I don't really know too much about Angus Gunn.
You should be doing your homework. I mean, it's not like Matthews on Twitter saying, how can you ask anyone to pick a keeper when no one's actually seen Angus Gunn? It's Norwich, not Nepal he plays in. I think we've seen enough of him.
I watched him against Huddersfield. Wasn't impressed. But
what did you think? What stood out for you in that game?
His goal kicks. But I've got to say, I think Steve Clarke likes the players that play in those, you know, the Championship, very good, strong league, week in, week out. He likes English-based players as well. So I think Steve Clarke, if I was a guessing guy, he'll start with Angus Gunn and go.
I was a guessing guy. Whatever that means.
Made that term up. Because
it's usually if I'm a betting man.
I didn't want to say that.
Because we gamble responsibly.
You've got to say gamble.
Exactly.
Please guess responsibly.
So guess responsibly, everybody out there. I'm a guessing guy.
Well, Angus Gunn is getting the nod from Nadim on the line, but what do you think? You want to agree or disagree with what you're hearing? Now is the time. 01419511025. We'll get you on next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. It's 01419511025 or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's bring in Josh, who is a big Scotland fan. What are you thinking with a couple of days to go, Josh?
Yep, a couple of days to go, Gordon. Good evening, guys. How are you doing? I'm just really excited, Gordon. But, you know, a new campaign. I actually think that the group is fairly... it's fairly decent for us. I think that the group is definitely doable. I know that people talk about the threat that Norway pose, and they do have a good team, but you know, we've got a really good team as well. And I think if we can take 16 out of the 24 points, that accounts for two losses against Spain and one draw away to Norway, I think that we can qualify through the playoffs.
I love that. He's got not only the optimism, but he's got the route planned. We can get the passport looked out already. Don't need to go too far this weekend, of course, Josh. Glasgow and the visit of Cyprus. What in particular are you thinking ahead of that one?
The thing is, Gordon, they're two separate games. That's about your stupid saying, right? But they're two very different games. I mean, against Cyprus, I want to see goals. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. We don't really get too many of them in international football anymore, and we want the fans to be able to enjoy themselves. So I want to go to the game on Saturday and see a lot of goals in the game. I don't really want to see a cagey 1-0 or a 2-1. I want to see us kind of go and really put our foot down on the group, because I mean, the initial fixture of Cyprus at home is a really good one to get it started. If we can make a mark on Saturday by really putting them to the sword, then I think that sets us off on a really good footing for the rest of the campaign. Obviously, Spain on Tuesday will be difficult, but you know that's a kind of different entity, isn't it?
It's interesting because there will be that pressure. I think there'll be an expectation up to a point. And I would accept, obviously, this squad is now further on than when Steve Clarke first took over. His very first game was against Cyprus, but that was a narrow 2-1 win. Ollie Burke came off the bench, remember, scored a late winner. Your gaffer, Andy Robertson, scored a cracker.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the away leg of that was also a 2-1 win. The Cyprus strike me as that level of opponent where I get Josh and I get loads, and I would like to think that way myself. We think, right, come on, a nice convincing win to get us up and running. And it just might not be quite as easy on the day.
I would agree with that. I get Josh's point. And when you see Cyprus coming out the pot, and maybe Georgia to a lesser extent, that you think, oh, here we go. This we could rack up anything, especially at Hampden. I think international football has changed over the last decade, or maybe even a wee bit longer, that when minnows or so-called minnows came out, and I mentioned that Cyprus are 110th in the FIFA world rankings at the minute, you think, or it used to be, that your team would rack up the goal difference. That looked great at the end of the campaign. I'm not too sure it's at that stage. I think players, especially European players and Eastern European players, have come on so much now that they make it very difficult when they come to Hampden. Played us back, by the way, at 5 o'clock on Saturday when Scotland are 6-0. But I think the game's different, and you know, I'd just be happy with anyone in a clean sheet, really, to go into the game against Spain and Belfry there.
Yeah, when you're starting your campaign off and you're at home, first and foremost, 3 points. Get the victory. I agree. Listen, if there's goals there to get and we get them, yes, absolute bonus. Brilliant for the fans, paying their money, going along there, supporting the team. That's great. Great entertainment. But to start this campaign off, especially with Spain coming up on Tuesday night, I think it's so vital to get the 3 points, and then we can build on it from there.
Take Josh's point about the kickoff time. From a purely selfish perspective, if this is any sort of measurement, I've been on this show for about 6 years, and I don't think we've ever been on a Saturday afternoon for a qualifier. I don't think we've had any Saturday afternoons at home.
That's
in
amazing,
that time.
Yeah, always an evening kickoff or a Friday night or something like that.
If there are any and I've forgotten, it's certainly not many, because we always miss them. You know, it's always a Sunday night, or we do the midweek, so it'll be nice to be on Saturday afternoon. Goalkeeping wise, Josh, what are you thinking?
Do you know, for my sins, I'm finding myself again with Mark Wilson. I went over the training to the Lesser Hampden for a wee peek the day, Gordon, and to be honest, I would be surprised, having watched them, I would be surprised if Gunn doesn't start. It just felt like he was the kind of main keeper in the training session from what I've seen today.
I love this idea, Josh, that Steve Clarke's screaming at a radio somewhere in a fancy hotel because you've just given the
team away,
given the game plan away.
Josh, how the line up? Is it three at the back?
Funny enough, Gordon actually did.
Oh, the Cyprus managers will be listening.
Can I get Josh's number?
You know what's great about this? John Carver's gone out to the press all day. Ah, it's great to be away from Orium because it's a health hazard. They've moved to Lesser Hampden. Josh and his mates have rocked up with a carry out, stood and watched the training, and have given the game plan away. But no, on a serious note, Josh, you're predicting it will be Angus Gunn. Would that be your choice?
I would probably want to go with Sander Clark, to be honest. I just think he's a known quantity. I don't know if Gunn, I know Gunn's playing for Norwich now, and he is rated down there, but, you know, I mean, why was he benched earlier on in the season, you know, and why did he not, you know, why did he not go on to make the kind of impact, because it was at Southampton he came through, or it was Southampton and he was at. And he's ended up over at Norwich, but he might very well be the next Scotland keeper for the next 10 years, but I would just like to have him in a few camps first before bringing him in. At least Clark and Kelly, I think that the two of them have been in camps, you know, time and time again, so they're, particularly their back four or back five in this case, will know their tics and will know their style of play and will know, you know, when to pass back and when to you know, when to expect a short pass out, you know. So preferably I would go with Xander Clark, in my opinion.
The only thing I'll say there, Josh, you've come on and you're hoping for a few goals, and the way you're talking, you're thinking Scotland going to dominate the game. Yeah, and I think we'll all agree with you. Surely if you're going to go with Gunn for his first cap, this is a perfect at home where you're really not going to be under a lot of pressure. Maybe to get to know...
I hope you're right. But...
Yeah, it could be. Mm. To get to know the back men, and as you say, the way they pass back on, his stronger foot and whatever. Surely this is a tailor-made game right at the start of the campaign. If you're going to go through the campaign thinking, yeah, we're going to give this guy an opportunity, surely Saturday's opportunity.
Probably, Gordon, but I see what you're saying, but these games, the thing is, I don't think these games are the right time for let's get a look at players, let's see how they are on their debut. You know what I mean? I mean, the thing is, like you said, we need to take 3 points on Saturday as an absolute must. Angus Gunn might come on and he might be, you know, he might end up playing, you know, the best keeper Scotland has had in years. But I don't know, and because I've never really watched Angus Gunn. So, to be honest, if he is highly rated, I think, you know, I trust Steve Clark's judgment more than any other football manager or team I support. So, I'm comfortable with him going in. I think there are, like the previous caller said, there are bigger questions about who plays elsewhere on the pitch, and particularly I would like to see Lewis Ferguson come in because I just feel that I think that if Juventus and AC Milan are even sniffing about a Scottish player, then I think we need to, you know, put him in and make him captain.
The guy with the Andy Robertson charity hoodie on tonight is not looking too happy. He's stripping his gaffer of the...
The only thing I'll pick Josh up quickly is he's saying it's not a game to give somebody their debut.
Somebody's got to. So what's interesting, these, Mark, because to loosely compare them, they are all uncapped, as Gordon quite rightly says. They're all at a similar point. I mean, Angus Gunn and Liam Kelly are both 27. Xander Clark's 30. So again, it's not, just in case there was any doubt, it's not like you've got a 20-year-old in there as well, and you think, well, you know, maybe a bit young at this point. They're all of a similar age. They're all uncapped. I think Angus Gunn's played the fewest games in his career out of them all, but he's still at about 130 career games. Liam Kelly a good bit more than that, and Xander Clark more than that. So not profile wise, there's not a great deal to separate them.
I was going to make the point just briefly, the body of work that Xander Clark's got to present in front of him, what he's done here laterally in his career, had to be patient, made a big decision to go to Hearts and had to sit behind Craig Gordon. But then when he's got his opportunity, he's proved why a club like Hearts would want him, you know, for his previous stints. So that's the one thing that stands out for me. I don't doubt that Liam Kelly and Angus Gunn are good goalkeepers, but when I look at Xander Clark, I see somebody that's reliable and somebody who's an excellent shot stopper, and I think we're going to need both. I think we have relied on our goalkeepers, Craig Gordon, Marshall, McGregor, for so many years. They've been so reliable. All three are gone. We need somebody to be just as reliable as they are.
Josh, you nipping down to training tomorrow, or is it just a once a week thing?
No. Working in the office tomorrow, Gordon, so can't make it, which is why I went down the day. But just absolutely buzzing for Saturday. First game of the campaign to kick it off. Viva Scotland! We are going to Deutschland.
can't really top that. Yeah. I noticed you're a bit of a creep. No, at training grounds, I mean, like you'll quite often go to Ravens, Craig, or whatever, keep a wee eye on Motherwell. So, would you ever give yourself an international call-up and go and keep a wee eye on Scotland training like Josh has done?
No.
It's not far now, though.
You know where to go?
In case you hadn't heard, they've moved away from Orium.
Yeah, I know that.
Just
I know
up road
where
they
are.
Yeah. Outside, a wee coffee, walk down, couple of tinnies, keep an eye
on
the boys.
I like to give their boys their moment, especially on a Friday. It's all technical stuff on a Friday. Tactical stuff, sorry. Mm. So Josh is probably getting a phone call from the Cyprus manager as we speak.
And the Scottish FA. We'll see what you're playing. Thanks very much to Josh. It's that time of the evening already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
An utterly sensational couple of days on Beat the Pundit. Hmm? Do you remember this man, Mark Wilson, losing on Tuesday?
Oh, sure he did.
Do you remember, and remember the guy that beat him?
No.
Remember he was like, we'll call him Laid Back.
Oh yeah.
Remember,
yeah, yeah.
Horizontal.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you, so did you not hear last night's Beat the Pundit?
No, unfortunately I was
right, right, I've got a nice surprise for you. I'll try and play some of it back. All I'm going to say to those listeners out there who get where I'm going and who did hear both, there can't be a third one, right? We'll play Beat the Pundit next. It's 01419511025. Get in touch if you want to play before 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here at 01419511025, or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. We took some calls on club football, just because I said it's up to you. It's a clean slate sometimes to think of your own club topic. In International Week, we spoke about Rangers attacking options. We've had a bit of a debate on who should start in goal for Scotland on Saturday. Is it Angus Gunn? Is it Liam Kelly? Or is it Xander Clark? So you can let us know on 01419511025. So if you're agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard, share your thoughts either way, and we can change the topic altogether if you so wish. But first of all, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. It's been quite the week on Beat the Pundit, I must admit. Mark Wilson played on Tuesday and lost. It was great, great fun in here. And so you didn't hear last night's Beat the Pundit?
No, I was at a wise engagement.
I don't want to know. But now that we mention it, you do remember Tuesday's. The guy that came on
sounded,
I mean, right, Laid Back. Yeah. We need to stick with that because it's a family show. Don't want to get anyone in bother.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Mark asked him if he had been to the Snoop Dogg, you know, last week, just to see what type of hobbies he had. And so last night,
we didn't have another one, did we?
I'll play a clip, right, of last night's Beat the Pundit. Liam is in Paisley tonight. How's it going, Liam?
Not bad, mate, yourself?
Not bad. You ever played before?
No, I have not.
Remind me, producer Ross, was last night's contestant from Paisley? I don't know if you know this guy, Liam, but You need to listen to this back. He was the most laid back person and he won. He came on and won.
Really?
I mean,
who did he beat?
Mark Wilson.
Tell you something even better, Gordon.
Go for it.
See that laid back boy you're talking about?
Uh huh.
That's my wee brother, Sean.
You're joking.
If we didn't know him.
I'm no kidding you. Here I am, here, Gordon.
How good was that? And I swear, completely unplanned. I was none the wiser. The producers were none the wiser. And he was just there with his brother in the background.
I was even, I heard that last night.
Did you hear it as well?
I heard it in the motor.
Because he delivered an unbelievable line after that as well. He said, Gordon, tell Mark Wilson I did go to Snoop Dogg last week. Right? So the two of them would think, oh, this is brilliant. The two of them are teaming up against Marvin Bartley. Goes to the tiebreaker. The pair of them get it on the nose and win the tiebreaker. They're like the rain men of Scottish football, just in the most unsuspecting way.
That's still game one there, wasn't it?
That's the best. We'll never top that, I don't think.
So good. Right, we've moved slightly away. We've moved away from Paisley just in case there's a third brother. Stephen is in Yoker. Stephen, you're not related to those two in any way, are you?
No, but I wish I was.
Exactly. You sound more chipper already. Stephen, have you ever played before?
No, I'm excited.
Good, so am I. But listen, this guy, Mark Wilson's on a losing streak this week, so we'll see what we can do. Heads, it will be Mark again, and tails, it will be Gordon DL. And it is heads. It's you again.
Me again, right?
Come on, Stephen. Get Josh.
That's it, 2 losses in a week.
Hey, Steph, calm down.
You need to give it to him.
Are you ready, Mark? I'll get rid of you for a second, which is always good fun. Stephen, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. And pass if you do not know the answer, all right?
All right, let's go.
Good man. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. What was the score the last time Scotland played Cyprus?
3-0.
Who was Derek McInnes in charge of directly before Aberdeen?
Pass.
At what stadium will Scotland play Spain next Tuesday?
Hampden.
A strip to celebrate which anniversary of Scotland's first international was recently released?
100.
Who's got more international caps, Joe Hart or Aaron Moy?
Aaron Moy.
Who do Rangers play in their first game after the international break?
Dundee United.
Name either non-Old Firm team still in the Scottish Cup.
United. No.
Let's bring back Mark. Can you hear us, Mark? Are you ready?
Yep.
Same set of questions.
So.
Ready?
Okay, yeah.
Let's do it. What was the score the last time Scotland played Cyprus?
2-1.
Who was Derek McInnes in charge of directly before Aberdeen?
Bristol City.
What stadium will Scotland play Spain next Tuesday?
Hampden.
A strip to celebrate which anniversary of Scotland's first international was recently released?
150.
Who's got more international caps? Joe Hart or Aaron Moy?
Joe Hart.
Who do Rangers play in their first game after the international break?
Kilmarnock?
No.
No, that was a guess.
What do you think, Stephen?
I'm not sure.
We're quite easy tonight.
Confused about that question.
Actually, I'm sure
you were right.
I know exactly which one of you. I don't even need to think about which one of you's won it. What was the score the last time Scotland played Cyprus? It was 2-1 to Scotland. Mark Wilson goes 1-0 in front. 16th of November 2019.
Stephen, you've been listening to the show.
Aye.
Gordon said that 10 minutes ago, mate.
But he was hanging on for Beat the Pundit. He was away making his tea before Beat the Pundit.
Get Josh on.
Fun fact about that game. Remember the quick trip down memory lane when I was about to go on holiday, went as far as the airport, had to get my appendix out. You two did the show from my living room. I watched that game from my hospital bed.
Was that then?
Yeah.
And they, Scotland stress you out at the best of times, so that wasn't the classic. Anyway, 2-1, Mark Wilson gets it. Easy question for him, Stephen, I must admit, because he played under Derek McInnes.
Played a vital part.
Relegated under
at Bristol City, so it was 2-0. Scotland play Spain at Hampden. You got that, Stephen?
Well done,
but
Stephen.
So did Mark. 3-1. And then it's a 50-50, really, isn't it? Joe Hart or Aaron Moy? Mark went for Joe Hart. Stephen went Aaron Moy. Australia.
Joe Hart.
It's Joe Hart.
Joe Hart's got loads.
Stephen, it's going wrong, isn't it?
Yeah,
75-57 caps. Rangers played Dundee United after the break. Stephen got that, so there was a bit of life left in him.
He must be a Rangers fan.
No, he's a Partick Thistle fan.
So he says.
So 5-2 at the moment.
There's a comeback coming.
And Stephen, you'll be kicking yourself because you were like kind of close. You got more questions than Mark, but Ayr United got put out by Falkirk.
I know.
So it's Inverness and Falkirk left.
You used to know now,
Stephen.
Scottish.
It is the pressure, isn't it, Stephen?
Yeah.
You can just tell.
No two losses in a week, Stephen, is it?
Two losses for me.
Do us a favour. Come on next Tuesday when I'm on, would you?
Anyway, are Thistle going to get promoted and make up for all this?
Hopefully. That's the thing. I'm looking forward to it since Dylan's took charge, so I'm looking forward to the game tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. Friday night football, isn't it? Of course. Away at Inverness, incidentally, one of the answers there.
Are you going, Stephen?
No, I'm not going. I've got two daughters, so I'm looking after them.
Yeah, I was going to say a Friday night up there when you've got kids.
Well, if you're a real
tough,
supporter.
Tough. Aye. It's tough, very tough, I must admit, Stephen. I feel your pain. But where would you rate your chances? Because it's a pretty tight league, isn't it? How confident are you of a bit of success?
Just have like the playoffs and then see how it goes for there. Get a few players back in the defence and that. So.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting. Three big games actually tomorrow: Inverness against Partick Thistle, Queen's Park against Arbroath, and Ayr United against Cove Rangers.
Let's see if you're a betting man. Gamble responsibly. Get a draw on, because it always seems Friday night fixtures. Friday night fixtures and the
Hold
championship. Are draws. That seems to be constant. Either 0-0 or 1-1.
There's a reason, right? See, every time a subject like that comes up, and I always say, you know, please gamble responsibly. Yes. At what point, having heard that 300 times over the last few years, did you think you were allowed to give gambling tips on the show? And bearing in mind,
you slip in gamble responsibly.
You might be the worst tipster of all time, apart from Hugh Keevans.
Put your last pen.
Put a pen.
No.
Have you never noticed that though? The Friday night games all seem to be.
Do they?
They do. Maybe just a coincidence.
Stephen, has he made that up? Have you got any knowledge of this?
That's usually true.
Thank you.
That's not true.
Thanks, Stephen. I've done my research.
Last Friday night game was Ayr and Falkirk.
No, hold on a minute. Now to criticise you, just because you can remember one that wasn't.
Do you want one before that?
It was a cup game anyway.
Exactly. You want one before
wasn't
that?
It wasn't even on a Friday, it was a Monday.
Was it? Well, sure, was.
It was a Broth that was playing last Friday.
Well, that started the week quickly.
Pretty sure it was one each. Anyway, but in all seriousness, Partick Thistle, By the way,
good squad, Partick have got.
Well, good squad, but I'll say it again. When Ian McCall lost his job after Ibrox, you thought that is a ridiculous decision. Where's that came from?
Not and everyone then, did, to be fair, if I remember the calls. I think from the outside it seemed so dramatic because it was the day of.
I'm just
of
talking
Ibrox.
About, well, myself, I thought, wow. And then Doolan comes in, real managerial experience, and you wonder, how's that going to go? You've got to say he's done a terrific job. Big games, he's got results at the right time. He's got players back from injury that's obviously helping. And as Stephen says, they're right in the mix. They should finish in the playoffs, giving themselves a right good chance.
Well, I mean, since Stephen's on, let's quickly hear from Chris Doolan. He says Thistle must use that momentum to carry them forward in the promotion push. Unbeaten in six now in charge, up to fourth. And as we said, go to Inverness tomorrow night. So looking forward to that.
Every team, and certainly in the Championship, that has something to play for will be looking for momentum, and we have it. We already have it, which is a big boost for us. It's about us building on it and continuing that good run. We want to take care of our own business, and none more so than at Inverness, because it's the next game, and I say that all the time, but the next game is the most important one. We go in with every bit of confidence that we've built up over these last six games, and hopefully we'll come away with a good result.
Thank you to Stephen, Partick Thistle fan from Yoker. That means it's 2-2 on Meet the Pundit this week. 2 for the listeners, 2 for the pundits' decider tomorrow night.
It was a comfortable win.
Quite often that Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller have to step up to the plate on the Friday and win it for the week.
Not quite. Often Hugh wins, has it?
Yeah, no, Kenny's decent.
I reckon Kenny would be decent, but Hugh's
had some big wins, you know.
Hugh's on form. I've got to say, I'll be listening in tomorrow.
Right, let's bring in Andy, who is on the line. How are you, Andy?
Not bad, Gordon. How are you doing, all right?
Yeah, not bad. We were having a bit of a debate before Beat the Pundit there about, you know, Scotland and team selections, that sort of thing. What's on your mind?
Just a wee observation about Beat the Pundit. This is a true story. I went phoning on Monday. I usually only phone in Thursday nights with my two favourite pundits, but I went phoning Monday with a point, right? 2 minutes to seven. The producer answered the phone and said, how are you doing, Andy? How are you going on Beat the Pundit? And I thought, it's Monday. And I thought, Kenny Muller, and the time he's on the show, I bottled it, right? And I get 6 out of 6.
See? And that's because the pressure was off.
God, I swear to God, I've never had 6 out of 6 in my life, and I had a loss tonight. So I'm going to say the DL and the Wilson combination, only the worst. There you go, lads.
There you go. The worst apart. That's a compliment.
That's a compliment,
Andy,
is it?
Andy, phone in next Tuesday.
He's giving you a compliment.
I know, but I think Andy would be a good game. I quite like that. You never phone in a Monday when the sniper's dream's on, mate. That's a no-no.
Anyway, before you insult any of your colleagues much further.
He must hate you.
What are you thinking about this weekend, Andy?
No, listen, it's about the game on Saturday. Firstly, I didn't like when I heard the boy Gunn speaking there. I didn't like the way he ended his interview, and he said that it's a good opportunity for myself and it's good for my career. There was a good chance for him to turn around there and say it's an opportunity to make my family proud or something like that. I just didn't like the way he'd done it. I'd give Xander Clark the jersey, definitely. He's won 2 cup finals at Hampden already. He's got a lot of experience, and I would just give him the jersey. But it's more about the forward area, the team I was like to talk about. Watched Shea Adams at the weekend, thought it was very good. And I got an opportunity here for us to start a campaign on the front foot, which we've not done for a few campaigns. Opportunity to win in Cyprus. I know Marks is a difficult game, but we need to be confident. And then Spain at home midweek, you just never know. Now, Norway have got their top player out. People are talking about Norway. I look at the results there. They're not the greatest. And I remember when we played Serbia in the playoff, I think they put Norway out in the other semi-final, so it wasn't that long ago. They're not the greatest, I don't think. But they play Spain away, and then they're away to Georgia. So you never know, by Wednesday, Thursday morning, we could be sitting pretty. So I think we just need to go for it on Saturday, and I'll be a bit more positive.
I certainly hope Andy's right. And it is only fair, because we do this, like we're doomsday merchants always, I think, and particularly with international team, we're very quick to point out the players that didn't play the last game for their club or didn't play well. So the name that Andy mentions, it's nice. I know they're having a tough time this season, but for Shea Adams to have scored in the last game just before the break, you know, for a team in the English Premier League,
I think he's a stick on. And when Andy's saying there we should go for it, I wonder what that looks like in Andy's opinion, because some people say we'll go for it. That means playing 2 up front. But we've seen when Adams is paired up front with Dykes, for instance, I don't think it works that well.
No.
I think Adams leading the line and people like Christie or McGinn round about him, you know, playing three at the back, allowing Robertson and probably it'll be Hickey or Patterson on the other side to play almost like wingers, I think that's probably going for it rather than a rigid two up front that I don't think suits us at this particular time. So I hope that's the case. I think we get more success when John McGinn plays close to the striker. I think then you could, you know, have a choice of who else plays, if that's Christie or someone else in behind. But I think we've got the players. I think we've certainly got the players to beat Cyprus. Whether it's the big scorelines that we used to see, as I say, 10, 15 years ago, I don't think it will be. But I think we'll win comfortably, and I'll give us confidence going into the Spain game. Then that is the tricky one. Who do you, what formation do you play after that? Do you go defensive? Do you go for line. It again? Yeah, who knows?
I think he'll go with one up top. I think when Dykes is on form with Adams, I think they're a threat. But he's not had a lot of game time. Adams is banging for him. He'll definitely start. I think they'll go with the back three. Obviously, Josh was down spying and told us that mm-hmm. today.
We had reverted to a back four recently, though.
Yeah, but I think we personally might go with the three, the four, the two, and then the one up top.
What three centre backs are you picking? Is this another attempt to go back what we used to do and get Kieran Tierney and Andy Robertson?
Well, my three centre backs would probably be Hanley, Tierney, and probably McTominay.
Portis.
Depends who's got to play
Dominic
in with
Hayam.
Depends who's got. No, I don't think so. Depends who's got to play in with McGregor in the middle of the park. Him and Gilmore, I think, make a good partnership, but he's not had a lot of game time.
Ryan Jack,
I think, has been excellent lately.
Or Scott McTominay.
Yeah, I'd put McTominay in there with McGregor.
And who would you play at the back? Portis?
Portis.
Yeah, there's a. But I think the formation, I don't think we'll go with the two up top. I think we'll go 3-4, and I think we'll go with McGinn and one side and someone else like he done last time. That was Armstrong, I think, he played, and then played Dykes up. I think he'll play Adams up there. He'll go 3-4, the two supporting his lone striker.
Add these up. That's make up 11, 15 yeah. players.
10 plus three goalkeepers, 30.
I mean, Andy puts the glass half full approach, which is great, you know, because there is a reason that Norway are seeded where they are, you know, that previous results and so on. But you also need to respect that when Serbia beat Norway to get to us and then we knocked them out, I mean, Haaland's now what, two and a half years on in his career than he was then.
Yeah.
Odegaard's probably at the peak of his powers right now. So it's
got a couple of outstanding players and in the forward areas. Now we've spoke about teams before on the international scene. Look at Wales, an ordinary side with a couple of superstars, and look where that took them. I think Norway are better than that. I think they've got superstars that are even better than what Wales had in Haaland. They have got the number one striker in the world probably at and this minute.
Because I must admit, you talk about that sharp end of the pitch. I've got no doubt I can be biased when it comes to national team. I feel like we are, in squad depth and strength, in a much better place than Republic of Ireland are, just as an example, right? I know they beat us in the summer and we got our own back in one of the recent fixtures at Hampden. I think when you go through the squad, it feels like our team is much stronger on paper. But got a bit of jealousy there when I see Evan Ferguson, Brighton, 18 striker, out and out striker, 18 years of age,
brilliant,
playing for an English Premier League club, coming through and scoring, didn't he, for the Republic of Ireland. It just feels like that's an area where you could just be doing with even more. When are we going to bring one through? Because even the two that we've got, and we're thankful for them, we called them up a bit later on.
I can't even off the top of my head think of one that's got to come through.
Young striker, Scottish, coming through the academies, getting first team experience. Very little. I'm the same. I can't really think. You know, guys like Shankland who have been around the houses before and hitting purple patches. Yeah, okay, we've got that, but somebody that really comes through and really grabs your attention, I can't remember one for a long time at that top end of the pitch.
Yeah, tough one. Thank you to Andy, 0141 951 1025. Andy's nice and optimistic. I hope he's right. We'll take more of your calls next.
taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025. Or something I want to crack on with very quickly. So I'm going to read your teaser out.
Yeah.
Don't waste my time giving me answers or anything. We'll do it between now and the end of the show. But your question tonight from Stephen is, can you name 7 players that Steve Clarke has capped once for Scotland? There are 7 players that Steve Clarke has capped once, one solitary time. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you can have your thinking caps on for the next half an hour or so, and we'll get the answers later. Stephen has sent that into fulltime@clyde1.com. I want to quickly turn attention away from Scotland for now, because something that caught my eye, we're always quick to point out bad news stories in Scottish football, so it seems only fair to give a bit of respect to this. I don't know if you've seen it today. You'll remember last week, lots of talk about the Scottish Cup semi-finals, the price of the tickets, the kick-off times, the venue, all that sort of stuff. Falkirk announced today a terrific initiative which is going to see 500 fans offered return bus travel to Hampden at just a fiver for adults and free for under 12s. Really good. Really worth congratulating. So with that in mind, we've got Jamie Swinney, who is the CEO of Falkirk, on the line. Jamie, again, congratulations sort of on the good idea. Give us a bit of the thinking behind it.
Yeah, first of all, just obviously, good evening, gents, and thanks for having us on.
Pleasure.
And this opportunity to talk about it. So I think it was obviously a challenge when it comes to the semi-final pricing. It has to be equal across the board, and the Scottish FA have got a challenge of having a they need to take all factors into consideration, including the demand for the other semi-final, which could probably sell out several times over, even at a higher price, and you know, previous ticket prices, etc. So it's a difficult one, and therefore the prices that are set reflect all these various factors. From our point of view, we feel the ticket prices are quite excessive, and it's a challenge for some supporters, I think, to afford that. I mean, our normal ticket price is £18, so even if you go to the cheapest adult price, it's £28, but there's obviously a £38 price in there as well. So we just wanted to try and do something that would mitigate that for, especially for those that are maybe struggling. We don't want people not being able to go to the game because it's unaffordable. So we felt one thing we might be able to do is provide some, you know, pretty affordable travel, put a free breakfast in there as well, and let under 12s go free, just to try and get as many Falkirk fans to the National Stadium as possible as we make our return to Hampden.
Yeah, brilliant. A great idea, certainly. How difficult was it from a Falkirk perspective, Jamie? Because I'm sure you'll have heard, you know, so many people from the outside have got a view on it, but you, I'm sure, wanted the semi-final priced at an appropriate level for your fans and for the fans of Inverness, and something that would, you know, reflect good value for that product. But as we explained last week, you know, the ticket sales from the two semi-finals, it does get split between the four clubs. So obviously, good money raised on the semi-final between Rangers and Celtic, you know, can benefit you as well. So how difficult was that balance for you to strike?
It is difficult, and if, I'm sure if ourselves and Inverness were able to, we would have selected a lower price for our ticket for our semi final. But as you see, you're in with two biggest clubs in the country who will sell out, and the pot is split equally. So there is only so much that you can do in these situations, and as it happens, we have to listen to the Scottish FA and their reasoning for the price, and we have to listen to all the clubs. And it just probably put us in a position where we felt it was a little bit higher. And ourselves and Inverness are obviously playing at a lower level, so the ticket price supporters are used to paying is significantly lower on a week-in, week-out basis as well, whereas Celtic and Rangers fans are probably more likely or maybe more used to paying 30 odd pound a ticket. You know, you don't get that in the Championship in League One, you know. So it's, I think from our point of view, it just makes it a little bit of a challenge, and we just don't want Falkirk fans feeling they can't get there. If you're a family of four, I think it's about £82 the cheapest that you can get there from a ticket point of view. So we're thinking if you've also got train journeys of £10 or £15 ahead, bus on top of that, I think that becomes really quite unaffordable. So if it's £5 and free for under 12s, at least your return trip to Hampden can be for as little as a £10 if you come on one of our buses.
Definitely seems like a good way to try and and help. Again, Jamie, look, you'll know better than most. Everyone's got an opinion on everything in Scottish football. There were people who, on your behalf, on Falkirk fans' behalf, were calling up this show last week and saying that that'll get a small crowd. Why not play it at Tynecastle? Why not play it somewhere else? You know, why does it need to be Hampden? Did that sort of stuff annoy you? Was it ever part of the discussion?
I think it's certainly a part of the discussion. I think if you ask, I think you need to ask the players. If you ask the players, I think just about every single player in Inverness or Falkirk are saying play at Hampden. It's not something that players do all the time. It's not something that some of them might be their first time, it might be their only time that they ever get the opportunity to play at a national semi final at Hampden. So I think the players would always select that. And even though supporters would maybe like a Tynecastle for a better atmosphere, I think a lot of supporters also want the opportunity to go to a national stadium. So while you can understand to a certain point, you know, the potential for moving it, I actually think that if you ask players in particular, they would always pick to play at the national stadium.
And where are we with tickets? I know is it relatively early, or things ticking along nicely? Forgive me for I've not quite been able to keep on top of release dates and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so we don't have them yet. Scottish FA expect us to have them on Monday or Tuesday next week. So we'll have them on sale probably by the middle of next week. So yeah, we're hoping to. I think we'll have a very, very positive update. The supporters have been through a difficult 5 or 6 years at Falkirk, so it's a real opportunity to have something to look forward to, and I'm sure we'll take some really, really good numbers to Hampden.
Yeah, footballing wise, I think it's obvious the incentive. It's incredible. You know, one game away from Hampden, one game away from the final, sorry, talking about two games away from guaranteed, you know, group stage football. That's obviously, there's a bit of work to be done there. But getting to this stage, the financial pot that you mentioned, you also mentioned the times that Falkirk as a club and a fan base have been through. Just how helpful is it to get to this stage?
It is massive. I think John McGlinchey after the game, and which was a great night at the football club, it is a bit of a dream come true for us. We've had a difficult, really difficult period, and we are a club that's on the way back up now. We are definitely starting to make the progress that we believe will get the club back to the Championship and hopefully eventually back to the Premiership. But we didn't expect for 1 minute to be playing a semi-final at this stage. So it's huge from everything. I think it's huge for the fans who really deserve it. Their loyalty's been tremendous over the last number of years, despite the difficult seasons. It's great for the club overall, everybody connected. So we are really, really excited about that. And as you say, you're one game away from a final, which is absolutely massive. And we have been asked to complete our European licence along with all four clubs that are in the semi final. You have to submit before the semi final. So we will have our licence, an application for our licence in before we take to the field against Inverness. Inverness will have the same.
So was that quite a surreal form to fill out, or however it works?
Yeah, well, we're still in the middle of doing it. It's not quite complete yet. So, yes, it's certainly something we didn't expect, and it's a nice headache to have.
Absolutely. And the greatest achievement of all, Gordon, is Falkirk beat Ayr, and because you're selfish, you couldn't stand to see Ayr reach a final and surpass what you achieved at the club. So that's really the big story.
Not at all. I'll just say, honestly, I thought I watched the game. It wasn't the Friday, I watched it on the Monday. The best team won. I thought John McGlynn, I know John very well, lovely, lovely guy. I signed his assistant manager, Paul Smith, for Ayr, so I've got a good connection there, and I wish them all the best in the semi-final.
Nah, brilliant. Well done, Jamie. Thanks. Well done on that initiative. Thanks for joining us to explain it all tonight.
Thanks very much. Have a good night.
And you, thank you very much. That was Jamie Swinney, who's the CEO of Falkirk. And like I said, just wanted to shine a light quickly on a bit of a nice initiative, things we sometimes don't highlight enough. So you can get 500 Falkirk fans are offered return bus travel to Hampden, a fiver for adults, free for under 12s, just to try and help, because they acknowledge, Mark, it's expensive.
Yeah.
But like we said, there's that knock on. They then make money from the Celtic and Rangers tickets.
It's the club in touch with our supporter base and realising what's going on in the world just now. So it's a great initiative. Jamie, formerly Stenhouse Muir, he's now. He's not afraid to make initiatives like this, where he touches base with the community. He had some good stuff going on during COVID as well, so good on him, and it'll go a long way to the Falkirk fans making the trip to Hampden.
I was going to tell him that you said all the players wouldn't want to play at Hampden though.
Yeah,
well, he's not done a poll with all the players. He says he would think that all the players, right, so yeah. Unless he goes to all the Inverness players and all the Falkirk
can
players,
you hear him
come back to
tracking
me.
100%. I said that you want to go to Hampden, you want to walk out that tunnel, you want to feel you that atmosphere.
I didn't want to pull you up, but you also said they're the best team went through. Falkirk Vieira. You're a liar. You told me that Ayr threw it away.
Actually, Jamie's still on the line.
Early on, I thought Ayr started well, got a goal, and it should have probably been 2-0 up, but well done to Falkirk.
Best team won. I know they, you know, I don't know if this breaks like professional code or whatever, but I quite like to expose the conversations that we have at the break, because it gives us great content for actually on air.
What conversation?
There are lots of conversations we have that sum you up, right? But I don't think many more than what we just had before we spoke to Jamie, because we were just commenting on Italy playing England tonight.
Yeah.
And we were looking at the teams and so on. We were mentioning where the game was. We were saying it's in Naples.
Yeah.
And Gordon Dale was complaining that the pizzas in Naples were rubbish. Mark Wilson.
The type of guy he is.
Honestly.
Uncultured, uncouth.
Hold on a minute. I arrived in Naples. They have got a big reputation of the best pizzas in the world. That's where they were invented. That's where they came from, right? I sat down at my table. I was all excited. Pineapple ham. Cheese and pineapple and ham come over sizzling hot, rubbish.
That's you. That's the problem, because clearly
in the home of pizza, yeah,
pineapple is sacrilege. It does not belong on the Italian pizza.
You tell the people from Naples.
That's the people
from Hawaii.
It's them who refuse to serve you the pineapple. That's the issue that you're raising.
I wonder why they were all looking over in the cafe.
That does somehow up, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Brit abroad.
Yeah, exactly.
Brit abroad. He's pineapple and
gammon steak and
chips.
It was
a warm day, so I had to have a wee bit of fruit on my pizza. I tell you, a lot of people out there love a wee ham and pineapple and cheese pizza.
Rubbish, right?
Do not go to Naples. Just eat another delivery company.
Good fellas, frozen one.
Pizza Hut, a better one.
I hear the world renowned Naples pizza industry is crushed tonight. Famous restaurant critic Gordon Dale, not happy with the standard of their dish.
The pizza was poor.
I just refuse to believe that.
The full experience was very poor, honestly. And the chips. I couldn't believe the chips.
They didn't double dip them in the fryer for you.
I was hoping for better French fries, let me tell you.
That's
why he doesn't go on holiday.
In a nutshell,
he says he doesn't like to travel, and that's why he doesn't fit in with the locals. Stands out like a sore thumb.
Yeah. Well, I went to Pompeii. I enjoyed that.
I bet you did.
I did. I was the worst experience of my life.
Fixing me your
falling
lifestyle.
Somebody with a sign, right? I was like,
This
way. Everybody keep up.
I can't think of anyone I know that would be less suited to that experience.
I've got to say, that was the worst, probably 2 hours of my life, right? It was horrendous. I was desperate to go back and get my leftover pizza. It was that bad. It was shocking. This way, yes, everybody keep up in the back. Oh, terrible. That was me.
You stick to golf courses.
Didn't even see Frankie Howard.
Anyway, yes, Italy, England and Naples tonight. There we go. That's where that conversation went. And yeah. Anyway,
we needing any answers?
Yeah, back to loosely related football news. Your teaser tonight,
Brophy.
Stephen wants to know if you can name the 7 players that Steve Clarke gave their one and only cap to. So maybe I've worded that subtly different. So they are one cap wonders as well. Mm. It's not just that Steve Clarke has only given them one cap. Does that make sense? Do you see the distinction?
Brophy.
Eamon Brophy.
Yeah, start us off. Kick us off.
I think so.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
One cap.
Lock it in. It's a good shout.
Is it good?
Gordon has been a bit silent because it looks like it's. Is it on the list?
Yeah.
No, he's checking. He's checking.
No, it was the Cyprus game. It was his first, Steve Clarke's first game.
There you go.
Stuart Finlay.
Oh, what a shout. We're going down the Kilmarnock road.
Did he score against. Yes,
Sam Marino has scored against
the game.
What a start!
The game in the rain.
Oh, the rain was horrendous.
That was horrid, wasn't it?
I was waiting on famous night for Scotland getting done out of a 6-5-0, whatever it was, because the rain came on with 10 minutes to go.
You know, I always ask, is the goalkeeper in there?
You tell me.
Rangers, McLaughlin.
No.
What about Hamlin?
Yes, Paul Hannon. Well done. We'll get the rest of the answers, and if you want to call in, you can, and we'll try and speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson both here on 0141 951 1025. We can try and squeeze more calls in if you so desire. How are you two faring on this teaser? Now, if you've never heard it before, I always say the same, it's pretty straightforward. The aim of the game on the full time teaser is how you give the questions to the pundits and they try and answer it. It's quite a good bit of fun at the end of the show to keep them on their toes. So Stephen has sent this one in for you to name 7 1 cap wonders for Scotland, but it was Stevie Clark that gave them their one cap. Paul Hanlon, Eamon Brophy and Stuart Finlay. That's what you've given me so far.
We've got three to get. Is that right?
Four to get.
I'm struggling here.
Portis.
Yes, against Ukraine. Well done. And did
Ferguson's
very well.
Got more, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got way more than that.
Right, that's what I said. He's got more.
I'll tell you what, once really surprised me. It's funny how quickly you can rack up Scotland caps. Sorry, Mark Wilson. Not in everyone's case.
That's quite difficult.
Matthew sent me one in and said Ralston got one cap, or did he get a second one? And I thought, oh, that's quite good. Look, Anthony Ralston's got six.
Six caps.
I was amazed at that. Yeah. Racked him up very quickly. What are you shaking your head at?
Just how I've been absolutely done.
So hard being you.
No, I like Ralston. Ralston's a good player. Anyway, deserves more than six.
Any more? So Hanlon, Brophy, Finlay, Porteous.
Are they from down south? Gives a wee clue. I'm struggling already. This is a hard one. I feel like you've thrown me off of with the Naples toast story.
Is there a left back in there?
No.
No. Centre forward must be. Always.
There is one of them is still in our Scottish Premiership, and two of them used to be, but have since gone down south. Okay.
Nice one.
Yeah. I've got a tweet in here, so like serious heads on for a minute, because
Barry McKay.
Wanted to mention, Gordon, today is the anniversary, 28 years did we say, from the sad passing of Davy Cooper. I know it was someone that you were particularly close with, so remarkable to think that it's that long already. And McSoonis has sent me a tweet here, because this does rear its head every now and then, but it's an article, Super Focus article with Davy Cooper of Rangers. And someone shared it today because it's, like I say, it's the anniversary. And apparently he's asked, it's the typical, like, what's your favourite actor, favourite holiday, best film that you've seen? And a player for the future. And you're going to be devastated to hear the answer.
He recognised talent there, David.
No, genuinely.
He recognised the talent. And coming from a guy with his ability, no wonder I'm big headed.
Yeah. No, it's not you.
Was it not?
No, nah, it says. Yeah, a player for the future, Gordon DL, young Rangers striker, he tipped him. Did it all go wrong?
I think, to be fair to Coop, that's because I used to travel with David. David didn't drive until later on, and I used to be his chauffeur, but a fantastic guy, a fantastic player. One of the most gifted footballers I've ever had the privilege to see.
Did some of these answers sum up the character? I love some of these, right, for the simplicity, right? So, favourite newspaper, Rangers News.
Yeah. Right. The Moody Blues is called.
Favourite other team, Rangers Reserves. Favourite hero of childhood, football hero of childhood, none. Is that just about right?
Yeah, I was Coop. Every morning he would walk in the corridors and people would say, "Morning, Coop." And his answer was always, "What's good about it?" Right. That's what he used to say, "What's good about it?" And they called him the Moody Blue. But honestly, see away from, like say, the trainer, he was one of the nicest guys I would ever have the privilege to meet. And I tell you, I go back to his football and talent. I used to go on that training ground with him and thought, he's playing a different game for me. He was sensational. I'll get back to my first, just quickly, the greatest bit, play Celtic Park, 18, still get the acne, still get the feather cut, out of goal with my shorts on.
Plaster on the arm,
bit excited. Places jumping, it was old Celtic Park, jumping, 18 years of age. And I ran up to Coop and I says to him, "Listen, I'm really struggling here, what am I going to do?" And he was chewing gum, never forget, just looked at me and went, "Just run, I'll find you." I thought, that's great advice, that's my strength.
28 years, incredible. Anyway, here you are. You've got your recognition imprint forever.
Yeah.
Super Focus.
Fantastic guy. Sadly missed.
So thanks for sending me that. And I have seen it before, but it always makes me laugh every time I see it. Just
there you go.
Ridiculous.
One of the greats recognising.
I can see the mood, his mood rubbed off on you in the car journeys, because that's what people say about you in the corridors here when you walk in.
I can just imagine you two moaning about the pizzas in Naples.
Yeah.
Do you know the worst when we go down these roads? It is my fault, because I brought it up. I mean, Mark and Mary Hill phoned, and I thought, I wonder what's his point here? Does he want to tip Angus Gunn or Xander Clark to start for Scotland?
He's been in Naples, isn't he?
Just to say that spicy chicken pizza is to die for. That was his point.
And in Naples?
And it's I don't even know. I just think generally.
Just delight spicy chicken.
Producer Scott's just buzzed me. No, just generally. That was it. That's all I wanted to say.
Any pizza show?
Good to know, mate. That's good.
By the way,
he's right. It's good.
My thing is not about a pizza, it's where they were made. They're famous. They're supposed to be the best in the world.
Right, I know. Right,
ham and pineapple did not.
What other pizza do you like?
Spicy chicken.
So you did. During some of the late shows that we were in here, you would always tear into a spicy chicken, wouldn't you?
Spicy chicken, but not from Naples.
A bit of a disappointing end then. 3-2 in the end for Scotland's 21s against Sweden. They're not in a particularly
3-2.
Yeah, not in a particularly good run. Is it 2 wins and 12 or something like that? And granted, it's dual pronged, that isn't it? You're trying to create players for the future. You know, and then at another time, I mean, Billy Gilmore's probably still young enough, I think, to play 21s. Ben Doak had his concussion, couldn't play. You know, guys like Calvin Ramsey could probably still go in there and others, but
it's a hard one, the 21s game. I mean, I loved playing 21s football, and I played with some right good players, and the team before me had a really good squad, but my team was particularly poor. We always came undone, but you always get the feeling that some players that were playing every week didn't give it the full attention it deserved, and often would drop out, but then would be called up for the full squad. They were there right away. So I wonder if it's kind of like that just now, but I think it's a useful stepping stone to full international football. A shame we're getting beat, but game against Wales on Sunday to come.
The graphic, because the game has been live streamed and I was keeping an eye on it, and the graphic I saw was definitely 3-2. But
did you finish?
Scotland Twitter account haven't updated that yet, and it's still, it is 3-2. There we are. A late consolation. Lewis Fiorini has added a late consolation, and it's all over 3-2. So hopefully not a sign of things to come.
Weekend. I've got the Premier League player.
Oh, on the teaser.
Yeah.
I suppose we could do that now to finish off. We're looking for 7 players, 7 one cap wonders for Scotland. And it was Steve Clarke that gave the one cap. So you've done okay, actually. You've got Paul Hanlon, Eamon Brophy, Stuart Finlay, and Ryan Porteous. So certainly Porteous in the driving seat to add more to that.
This is a lot of people out there, Mark, doubt me when I say my loyalty lies with the Well, Motherwell. And he plays
it's
with
not Kevin Van Veen, Campbell, or Bevis Mugabe.
He plays with Motherwell.
Alan Campbell.
Play with Motherwell.
He's a brother of Super John McGinn. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Yes.
Never doubt you.
Well, yes.
By the way, is Alan Campbell in there?
Alan Campbell.
Well,
yes. I was trying to throw you
the way there.
Descent.
Oh, brilliant.
That's great teamwork.
And the one that you've got to get
is the hardest.
He's been mentioned tonight.
Oh.
I did it deliberately, just to see. Because you're usually good at that. If I say a name, you start wondering, is that on the teaser?
He's been mentioned
and
tonight.
And I've absolutely done you both, because it wasn't even that long ago.
Who's mentioned tonight?
McNulty.
Sorry? Mark no. McNulty? No.
No.
No, I think I said something about him to you in the break.
On the break,
I've mentioned this guy on air moments ago.
Oh, no.
I slaughtered the boy and beat the pundit as well.
Done you in this one.
Is he still playing in Scotland?
No.
He's down in England, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. And his one cap came in the most recent game that Scotland men's team played. Turkey, away, that friendly. Great John McGinn goal. Got beat. We don't mention that bit.
Right, hold on. Who
I honestly mentioned them 2 minutes ago.
Dykes and Song.
No, did I mention any of them 2 minutes ago?
No, I'm trying. No. I'm working out the team. Hold
That's
on.
That's awful. We've not got it.
It's a fullback.
The music's ending.
Former Aberdeen.
Ramsey. Ramsey.
Nah. When did you? Didn't you mention
him? He mentioned when he was 21s.
Said he could play. Calvin Ramsey. Thank you, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel. The Naples Tourist Board have been on. They're not happy with you, so you need to go in hiding for the next few days. And we are back tomorrow. Match day minus one, they call it in UEFA speak, because Scotland plays Cyprus on Saturday. So why not bring in Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans, 69 Scotland caps between them, and one of them scored a game against Cyprus as well. Honestly, what a duo. And Callum Gallagher is up next.